For the benefit of those listening to this recording on the Sacramento Valley Intergroup website, this was recording during the Breaking Through Barriers to Spiritual Growth workshop on June 19th, 2021.
It's now my great pleasure to introduce Dion R. from Cincinnati, Ohio. Dion, please share with us.
Hi, everyone. My name is Dion R. I am a grateful recovered compulsive overeater from Ohio and Cincinnati, Ohio, the southernest state of Ohio. I love it. And of course, I was going to say the set aside prayer, but we didn't pray. I feel I prayed up now really, really good. So, first of all, I'm grateful to be able to share my experience, strength, and hope of how God, this program, it showed me a light to God, of my understanding that will help me work the 12 steps to enhance my spirituality and put food in everybody, place, and thing in neutrality. So, what I do, I'm going to tell you a little bit about me and how I qualify. I had some pictures. I sent it to Tiffany. I'm not sure if she posted them or not, or you did post them? Oh, okay. That's my before. And this is when I hit rock bottom. I was at another 12-step convention, and that chair broke in front of thousands of people. Probably 1,000, felt like thousands. Yeah, that was me. And that was in 89. So that was in 1990. It was in 1990, yes. And after that, someone suggested that I attend Overeaters Anonymous. I'm like, what? What do you think? I had fallen, but the beautiful thing about it, because I was around 12-step people, they gave me love. You know what I mean? It was like, let me do this scenario. What it's like, the 12-step program and Overeaters Anonymous, what they did for me, it's like a gentleman that would lay a bitch back in the day, years ago, to be mud puddles. And I used to see in my neighborhood where men would lay their coats down so women could step on their coat to get in the sidewalk instead of falling, get their shoes all muddy, right? So that's what this is what this program did for me. They loved me until I love myself. They allowed me to cross over. That program told me about this program. They laid their coat down and they didn't make fun of me. Oh, girl, you fit. I mean, I'm sure some people laugh. But they didn't do it in my front of my face. And I've never experienced that before. I've fallen out of chairs before, but I had never experienced that. So I lost it. And that was when I came in, I was like 302, 4'11". I was 5 feet, I think, then. I'm 4'11". And so, of course, I lost about 132 pounds. And God is still doing what he do. I'm comfortable. What was that? Okay. Oh. That is my now picture, the latest picture. My daughter took that probably about a month ago. So I am very, very grateful, you know, for the progress. And more than that, when I came into the program after fighting this person and the other two, I said, what you telling me to go to age? Why I need it? You know, grateful to her to this day, because after I walked into the program, I got more than what I thought. I thought I was got everything I needed from this other program, right? And no. And I know now my higher power knew I hadn't got to the bottom yet. It was some core stuff I hadn't got with yet. Food was always my drug of choice. I had, child abuse as far as church abuse. I call it church child abuse, where I was sexually abused by church people. So I call it church abuse, all right? And the person that abused me was the leader of the church. So it's not uncommon I found out, but back then I thought I was the only one because my secrets was about to kill me, trying to hold everything in, you know? And I was, of course, like most of us were raised in, what happens in the house stays in the house, you know? I couldn't even tell my father what was going on. I didn't realize until 2005, when my ex-husband, he told me, he said, you might want to tell you, did you know your dad? But I've been telling that story for years and OA, whatever. And he's like, I don't think your dad knows. And I'm like, you know, but I realized I held it in so long. I'm just like, we was under raised under assumption. You know what we talking about. You know what I was thinking. You should have had that done. You should have had that claim, like, a, you know, mind reader type stuff. But anyway, realizing dad did, my father found out about it in 2005. And that's when I told him about a lot of the trauma I went through. And reason I'm going there, because my father, there was a church-based family, one particular, my mom was too, but her people were raised a different type of way of church. They kind of like, not church, not as much, but my dad, it was strictly church, but it was like a juke joint here and a church here, and then I'm in the middle. Does that make sense? It's like my father was from the church, my mama's family was from the streets, and then they get me. So when my dad and mom separated, and I was like 9 or 10, we stopped going to church and follow my mom, of course. And that's where the minister and different people took advantage of her innocence. She had no idea, or she thought we were supposed to keep it a secret. So that's just a little background of the spiritual. I'm saying that because that brought about my spiritual denial of a God. I didn't believe there was a God. And there may be some people on the line now may still feel there's no God. I don't know, but I do know when I came in this program, I seen the change in others. And the first higher power, they tell me to get a higher power. Of course, I balked at the idea of God because I'm related my past with what they're saying on those 12 steps. So what I found out is they said, choose a God of your understanding. Oh, I can do this now. I can do it. I can try it. Try for 6 weeks or 6 meetings to see if it's for you. If not, we'll give you all that good misery back. So I came in through one program of enabling and brought me to the fatherhood program of all the 12 steps, which led me to my drug of choice, you know. So, and I'm so grateful. And it all makes sense now to me. But I know why now my higher power had to do that. But I was coming to Alcoholics Anonymous for 20-something years, and I didn't get abstinent until June 23rd, next week. 2012. And that's when I said, you know what, bump this. I'm tired. I tried it everybody else's way, leaving the God out, leaving the higher power out, leaving 10, 11, and 12 out. I tried. Only going to work. Well, I thought I did a great fourth and fifth. You know, I'm telling everybody, oh, I can get this out now. And some of the young, the nice ladies of the OA, they were so beautiful. You don't have to tell everything. Enough, you know, just tell it to your sponsor, you know. I'm like, okay. But anyway, it was just a growing process. So anyway, I relied on my sponsor. She became my higher power. She died in 2015. And that was devastating. My dad was always on my side now, and he really knowing what happened to me. He didn't look at me like, why is she doing this stuff no more? And regardless, he still would show up. You know, it's one of them dads like, I'm disappointed in her, but that's my daughter. You know, like that. So the fact that he still showed up, and he knows. So I'm beginning to, you know, lean on him too, with higher power. And then my husband, you know, we're just like two hurt people growing together. We knew each other's secrets, and we was going so well. We got married in the program. It was like they say, boy meets girl on AA campus, the big book talks about. And then the rest is history, right? It was like that until we got full of ourselves, the ego. For me, I know I stopped working the steps. I can't take his inventory, but I stopped working them. I felt like, well, you know, I was half, as they call it, half-ass back in the day. I was like, I'll call this one back. I'll do this. I'll work this step. But the lesson I learned from that, I got to treat this program like I'm brand new every day. If I get up today, I still got to be willing to work 10, 11, and 12. And that enhances my spiritual program. Step 10, check yourself. You know, to me, is step 10 is 4 through 9. I used to say 1 through 9. 8, but to me, it's like, because some things I got to be powerless over everything. But regardless, I got to check it out. I don't know what's going to happen to me today or tomorrow, but whatever it is, I'm taking it through the steps, you know? So, you know, inventory myself, seeing when I'm being selfish, self-centered, just, I don't care if I like this one lady said, I'll sum it up with this. Whatever happens, so what? She was like, so what, it's your fault? I'm like, my fault. She said, well, if you got a resentment about it, it's your fault, because you know what to do with it. And that is so true. That was hard to explain, but I get it. I can't plead ignorant. It will work for me over and over and over for 9 years. So why would I, you know, and so anyway, so yeah, anything, if I got a resentment, I'm caring about anything or feeling like I got some power over something and gets me in trouble again, get your butt right back to them steps, you know, and then check myself. And prayer and meditation today through the whole process, because I don't have a lot of time, but I just want the best spiritual experience, I could put it like this. When I came to the program, I did not believe, whatever, but I seen the change in a family member, right? I seen him not do what his drug of choice. I'm like, hell, I even tried to test him sometimes and he wouldn't pick up. So that was one thing. And then I had to apologize 2 years later about that. I mean, that I'd done that, but I just didn't believe it. You know, it couldn't be just from working some steps, you know? And so eventually I became to believe. I said, well, maybe. I think, I guess it, you know, people ask me about Harper, I guess, but you know, I know it's been 30 days since I've eaten or since I whatever, you know, and then it's been this. And then I kind of believe, you know, I seen it in my sponsor way. She came, and she was a sponsor from another program. She came in 08 and became, lost a lot of weight so instantly and magnificently. I'm like, she just worked. She said, I'm just working. Like, well, what about me? I was steady getting huge in the meetings. And so anyway, yeah, so I believe, I didn't believe, I come to believe, I thought. And then August the 2nd, 2018, I know there's a God. How I know now, because a group of ladies, the only reason I'm sharing is because she told me to keep sharing, because I experienced your experience since I died. I called it, right? On the table after a heart attack in 2018, even though I was in the program, right? But after all these people had died, my chief support group, my God, you know, after they died, I just feel like, you know, what's the use? And the world was being crappy of like, why am I still here, Lord? You know, so, but what I did was I started seeking another addiction. And that other addiction was work. I worked so much. I was just, oh, I got to help. I got to help. I'm in the helping field. So I'm going to help. I'm going to help. I'm going to help. And I wasn't helping myself. And I wasn't, I was eating, but the stress, not overeating, but I mean, nutritionally, the bare minimum nutritional amount that I needed, because my brain level was like, yeah, whatever. And it was like, I wouldn't take myself, but if somebody took me, oh, well, I wouldn't try to fight and nothing to my higher power. Not only that, when I died in a coma on the table, I remember seeing the surgeons dropping their head and shaking. And I'm like, why are they shaking their head? And kept hearing this beautiful music. Was so such a beautiful, peaceful place. And I remember thinking, I'm finally, you know, this is so peaceful. I wonder if I'm dead. And the thought came to me so loud. And a lot of people said, it's God. I know today it was. Okay, are you ready? Are you ready? You know, I was like, I guess I'm home. Go home, great, go to heaven. I go die. And they say, are you ready? Are you ready to die? And I was like, well, I didn't say bye to my daughter. My children have saved my life a lot. And I kept, and my children, my daughter had a rocky relationship. And I kind of prepared my son. I mean, always, he was getting angry because he was seeing me giving up, basically. But my daughter was just, you know, and I just like, I just wanted to let her know. And I said, no, I didn't say goodbye. For real. I said, no, I didn't say goodbye to my daughter yet. And it was like, good, because I still got work for you to do. And next thing I know, I'm waking up. I'm like, and it was like, Miss Rogers. And I'm like, why were y'all shaking y'all head? And it was like, your lips were white. Now I got on lipstick. Now it's probably white. But it was like, your lips were white. And I'm thinking like, well, maybe because I didn't have no chapstick on and yada, yada. And later on, the doctor told me he had to hit me 5 hits of nitroglycerin to get my heart back going again. I had went out, so I was gone. But the thing is, I know it's something about that experience. When they say near-death experience, or look, I don't have to wonder no more. It is what it is. I've been looking a fool, whatever. They said I was lonely after I came back. It's the same story I tell from August the 2nd, 2018. Which is my brother's birthday, the one who I saw the miracle in years ago. You know what I mean? But anywho, so now I know. So I thought, I didn't believe, kind of thought, now I know there is a God and he wants me to. And I asked my brother, I was like, do I got that kind of power to ask Well, I could tell God I ain't ready. He was like, I think God knew you wasn't ready, T. And I was like, that is so cool, you know, but it's something in me now that makes me want to just go and tell and show people that it does work. And I don't force my higher power on anyone else. It's the one was brought up in childhood. But this is where I'm at now. It works for me, but it's best to find the one that works for you, even if it is a sponsor, even if it's a tree outside. Do something, but continue, put the food down. They told me put the food down within 48 hours and continue, work the steps, the way to come off. Not only did the way come off, I got some clarity of mind, and I'm neutral with a lot of things, and I give all that credit to you guys, and I believe my higher power gave me the 12-step program. You know, so I can, but I relate so much to people in Overeaters Anonymous. They are my heart. You know what I mean? It's so many people I see suffering with food, thinking there's no way out. They have no clue. So I don't know. One day at a time, I can't fake it. I don't have to fake. I could be myself today. And I love being myself. Being vulnerable is not always easy, but I'd rather do that than to die in hell. And what also keeps me on this side of the street, I have some beautiful grandchildren, I have some beautiful children, and I believe in the motto, what you say speak so loud, I can't hear what you do. My children have changed, and I watch them progress as I progress, if that makes sense. So if I just take the coward way out and give up, there's a line of people following behind me who will probably do the same thing. That scared me. I got that in a dream one time. And all this was going on at the same time during a heart attack. So I was like, uh-uh. If I have nothing else, I got to keep going for my sponsors and a newcomer and my beautiful family who may find the answer. And I don't know how much time I got left, but because I didn't see any hands or anything.
You have three more minutes, Dion. Three more minutes.
Three more minutes. Yeah, 10 and 12. Step 12, how it enhances me and I get through any barriers. Because when all else fail, they say work with another compulsive overeater will save the day. That's true. It does. When my sister died of this disease, my older sister, she died of this disease. And in the first place I knew, even when I was in the food or out of the food, was go right to a 12-step. Go to OA and tell them. Anything, my dad, OA. My sponsor, OA. My husband, OA. My mom, my uncle, OA. You know what I mean? I'm back in this. I got to tell him. My mom just died, of course, last year of COVID. And that was hard. But through the grace of God, I'm even closer to her now. We didn't get close until like the last 9 or 10 years. When I got better, you know, I could relate to her. She told me some horrible stories she went through. And I'm thinking, oh, Lord, I was pretty like a queen compared to hers. And my life was no queen. But the program gave, she saw me get honest and grow and get better. That she took a chance and told her children what happened to her. She kept that stuff a secret. Like, how did she do that? No wonder she was, you know, loony. But I see her recover. It changed around. Where mine, I was loony too, but I was trying to hold it in with food, you know what I mean, or drugs or whatever. So today, I'm just grateful. I have a relationship with her now, I mean, in my heart, because I remember all the positive things she's given me, as well as the other one. And I prayed, it was like, I want to embarrass my mom. And I could hear my mom say, tell your story, I'm okay. So I'm like, I don't know if that was a moment of insanity or clarity, but I am what I am. And the messages continue for me to be myself. This is how I go and recover. I have a beautiful heart. I can say this today, to love people and where they at. If you can grow, I want you to grow. I don't care who you are. You know, it's like, tell the truth so you can grow. There are lies and those secrets kept me stuck for years in my disease and everybody else's disease. If that makes sense. And with that, I'll pass. I have nothing else to give you, but keep coming back because it does work. I'd like to hear Michael now.